Welcome to the Booktopia podcast. I'm Sarah McDooling, and I'm so excited to be here today with Emma Isaacs.
Yay!
Emma, can you tell us a bit about your brand new book, Winging It?
Yeah, we're so excited about this book. It's been a labor of love that we really, it's a culmination of kind of the last 20 years of experience that I've had in business. And I started my company from a very, very young age and dropped out of university after only 6 months. So all of my experience is hands-on, it's practical. I've always just learned through rolling my sleeves up and getting stuck in. And, you know, the book has a whole heap of stories from not only my entrepreneurial experience and, you know, in building businesses and developing teams and creating amazing cultures, but also the amazing stories that I've been lucky to hear from the beautiful guest speakers we brought out to Australia over the last 13 years now with Business Chicks. So, you know, studying these people who have lived, you know, in the pages of the books on my bookshelves for many, many years has been a huge blessing for me. And I tell a lot of those in the book. But really winging it for me is a call to arms for people to trust themselves more. It's to get out of your comfort zone. It's to check in with your gut and what you really want to be doing. It's about, you know, doubting yourself less. And, you know, really when it comes down to it, it's about giving things a go and having a try and doing your best and, you know, kind of being kind to yourself. I think we can all be a little bit too hard on ourselves. And, you know, we measure our success based on other people rather than looking inward and saying, you know what, I'm just going to compete with me. I'm going to do my absolute best in every moment and I'm just going to try new things and give it a shot.
Yeah, I really like that message. I think so often, you know, around like motivational books and things, the message is always like more to do with planning or like being organized. And the idea, like what I take away from your book is that, you know, if you wait around, like you miss opportunities and you don't have to be, you don't always have to wait until that moment where you feel absolutely 100% ready and everything's planned out and scheduled. It's probably better to just jump in.
Absolutely. I mean, do you really ever feel like we ever feel
I never do
completely prepared and ready?
But I guess I thought I'd one day I would, but maybe no one ever does.
And that's like, what I found when researching this book, everyone, you know, there's this real thing of I will do it one day and I will get there. And but I mean, not to get too kind of woo-woo on you, but we just don't know what's around the corner. And you know, you kind of miss out on so much fun and you miss out on, you know, so many life experiences when you put things off, you know. And winging it for me is just saying, hey, why are you sitting around waiting? Why are you overthinking it? Why are you, you know, sometimes planning is a code word for fear.
Yeah.
You know?
Procrastinating.
Procrastinating is a code word for I don't think I'm good enough for this. And so I want to encourage people to say, hang on a minute, that's just, you've made that up. You're creating that story in your head. What have you got to lose in trying and starting now? And it doesn't mean you have to kind of leave your job and start a business, but it can be played out in so many different ways in your life that might not mean absolutely massive shifts or changes, but it might just mean, you know, you and I have been talking about interesting stuff or we've been signing books today, but, you know, it might mean asking someone out on a date that you have been thinking about for a while, or it might be, you know, if you're thinking of writing a book, just write the first page, you know. It's really just saying to people, just start now. Don't wait.
What would be your best tip for someone who wants to follow that advice but just feels daunted? Because I think often, you know, you think, I guess it is lack of confidence, essentially, that stands in your way. But you think, oh, I'll just give it a go. But then you just don't even know where to begin.
Yeah.
Like, what would you...
But I think with absolutely everything that I've done in my life, you know, I never knew how to build a company. I've got five children and I had no idea how to be a parent. And my version of starting might be different to your version of starting. But everyone has something that they can do, one activity, one little thing that can just move them an inch forward. You know, you know, if it's a book, it might be going out and buying a journal and buying a nice pen and just writing a few words. It might, you know, it might be starting a new document. So when I say start something, it can be anywhere. It doesn't, and it'll be different for you than it is for me.
Yeah.
But I think the key here is just taking action. You know, it's getting out of your head and getting into action. And that'll mean something different for absolutely all of us. But you can't sit there and tell me that you don't know what action means. You know, like that there will be one place that you can start.
You can just begin.
Yeah. And it's also about, you know, enrolling other people in your you know, in your goal. I think often, particularly as women, we can think, you know, we have to keep it to ourselves in case we fail. You know, putting yourself out there and trying new things and trying to build something is a really difficult thing because you open yourself up to criticism, you open yourself up to being vulnerable, you open yourself up to the possibility of failure. So, you know, while we start with this confidence issue, then we find ourselves, you know, if we get to a level of success, you know, it takes courage and grit and guts to kind of, you know, just put yourself out there and have the confidence to try. But if you can enroll people and say, hey, I'm thinking of doing this, then other people start to give you clues on what maybe the first step should be and how you might best start. So talk to people about it. Ask them what you should do.
I think the great thing about this book is how warm the writing is and how much meeting you and having and reading the book, it just, you're in here like it's your personality.
Mm.
I really liked Don't Call Me Superwoman. I think that that's when I remember actually like putting the book down laughing because of stories that you tell in that, around parenting and stuff like that. But could you tell for the people listening, you know, why you don't want to be called Superwoman?
Yeah. I mean, I think when we start to do that to women, we start to put them on a pedestal and then you can't reach them. Right. And I think that we live in a world where social media isn't always doing us favors. And we all need to remember that, you know, social media is just a highlight reel. And what I've learned as a parent is that no matter how much someone looks like they've got it together, we're all going through the same things. Like there's no one who's immune to a toddler tantrum, a sick child, sleep deprivation. We're all doing it as much as we would want everyone to think that we're totally in control. You know, parenting is this exercise in lack of control. And so, I don't know, I you know, people always say, wow, 5 kids is amazing. And then, well, you know, I mean, it's not about the number of kids. And the struggles that I face are exactly the same as the struggles every single parent faces. And I think it does come back to just being kinder to each other and not judging each other for the choices that we make and trying to support one another. And, you know, whether that means that you've chosen not to have kids, then that's great. Whether you've chosen to have 10 kids, you know, that's great. Whether you choose to homeschool or home birth or Montessori, you know, like, I mean, it goes on. I just feel like we live in this world of judgment when it comes to parenting and that we can look at other people and think, oh, they've got it all together. And it's kind of like the whole philosophy of winging it, really. It's to understand that, you know, these successful people that I've been lucky to meet and spend time with, they don't have it all together either. You know, like it's all just kind of marketing, right? You know, and we put these people on a pedestal when I want to say to people, we're all the same and we're all in this together and we've all got our own self-doubt and fears and, you know, things that we would change about ourselves or our lives, but like we've all just got to relax. We're doing our best, don't you think?
Yeah.
You know, we're doing our best and your journey is yours and mine is mine. And why would I compare myself to you? It doesn't matter. You know, like it's just try and do the best that you can do and relax a bit more. You know, like we're so pent up trying to like, oh, I hope I can do it as well as this person and that person and really, like, it's none of your business. Like, you should just try and be the best version of you. And that sounds kind of really dorky, but I think that's what it's all about. But all the
most common sense, like, best advice does sound dorky when you lay it out.
Yeah,
like,
yeah. Well, I think we're all looking for the, give me the silver bullet, like, give me the secret, you know. And I see it as well because we two are these amazing speakers and, you know, we put together these about 100 live events around the country every year. And people are coming with this whole thing of, okay, great, I'm going to learn it from Richard Branson. He's going to give me that one thing that's going to change my life. And, you know, when it comes down to it, you know, it's we just want to be happy and we want to be able to make an impact in the lives of the people that we love. And We want to be able to, you know, appreciate what we have and be grateful for that. And he wants the same as what you and I want, you know, but we are seeking something that's actually already within us.
Yeah, we think it's more complicated than it is. You can boil it all down to taking action and having self-confidence. But like so many things in life, those simple things, you know, it's one thing to know it and it's another thing to put it in practice. So a book like this, where you're, you know, telling your stories and things that have happened to you and just laying out your, you know, journey, makes it, I think it gets it across to people that it's like, look, it is believing in yourself and it is taking action and it is doing the best that you can. This is how it was for me, and, you know, think about how it would be for you.
Yeah. Yeah, yeah, absolutely.
So how long did it take to write?
Well, a girlfriend sent me a beautiful card the other day, and it reminded me, because we're published through Pam McMillan, who have been beautiful to work with and great to us, and that deal went through December last year. So really it was, you know, 12 months of a lot of solid periods of writing, and within those 12 months I had my fifth baby. So I was kind of writing in the back of Ubers. I was writing in the middle of the night while I was nursing her. I was writing, you know, while feeding her with one arm and, you know, typing on the laptop on the other. But, you know, when I started the process, I probably already had about 30,000 words that I'd written. You know, I always knew I wanted to write a book, and I really hope I'm able to write many, many books, because I'm sure, like a lot of your authors, I think we ended up writing around 250,000 words, and so many of those, and they're good words, don't get me wrong, like they're not like they're crap and they're good the discarded. Yeah, they're really good words, but you know, I'm not writing the Bible, and we had to be discerning on what went in and what got cut. So, you know, but I've always known I want to write a book, so there were about 30,000 words that I kind of started with, and they probably didn't make it in there, but you know, I've loved the process. I've loved working alongside the publishers. I've loved. I've always seen myself as a little bit of you know, a writer. I used to read 2 or 3 books a week when I was younger. My mum couldn't buy books fast enough. You know, I'd read them before she'd get to the shop. So you know, life is a bit different for me now with 5 kids, but you know, I appreciate the magic of learning and reading from a very, very, very young age. Like my mum was a school teacher, and I was the first of 3 kids. So there was 3 years before my sister came along. So my mum, you know, poured every single minute of herself into me, and she was a kindergarten teacher. So I could read and write anything before I went to school. And the kindergarten teacher actually used to sit me up the front of the classroom with one of those big books. I don't know, when you're at school, those huge books, and she'd go and make herself a cup of tea and make me read to the class. So, you know, I've always had a love of learning and reading and writing, and so it was an absolute joy to be able to form my thoughts and get it in a book and to work alongside the publishers to do that.
Wow. Mm. I love that idea of the teacher being like, see you, kids.
It wouldn't happen these days. It wouldn't, like, they're also like, buy the book and, you know, but I mean, that was what? Oh, how old am I? 35 years ago or something. Yeah, they were the good old days. But yeah, no, so please God, it's, you know, the first of many, many, many books to come.
Well, I love hearing you say that you started off with 30,000 words and perhaps none of them were even in the finished product, because that's just such a great example of you just start. It might not be perfect and it might not be, you know, what it will be when it's finished, but if you don't begin somewhere, you're never going to get there at all.
Yeah, absolutely. And I think the starting is absolutely important. I think the finishing is just as important as well. You know, at some point our gorgeous editor said to us, you know, Emma, books don't get finished, they get published. Have you heard that? You know, and it's a way to say at some point, like, you could always perfect one word here, one chapter here, one line here, but at some point you're going to have to say, you know what? I've done my best. This is a really good product. You just got to shut that laptop down. You got to deliver a manuscript, and it's time to get that product out in the world.
You could. I mean, I have heard that before as well. That the longer you work on it, the more you try to polish it, the more you'll just never let go of it. Because that you really could keep going forever.
Yeah. You really could.
Have to send it out into the world to do its job.
Mm-hmm.
So what would you want, you know, you mentioned before about people wanting the one nugget of wisdom from Richard Branson and stuff. If there's I mean, we've probably covered it in our talk, but if there's one, like, sort of general thing that you hope people take away from the book, what would it be?
Oh, gosh. I mean, I really hope the book has so many nuggets in there, and I believe it does. We're really, really proud of what we put out. But I think, you know, the core message, or the one thing I want people to take away, is to really, you know, back themselves and be kind to themselves and to be kind to others, and, you know, really check in with what they really want from their lives, you know, whether that is in their careers or their families or their businesses. Really check in with what their heart's calling them to do. You know, we all know it. Like, we all put it aside and we all, oh, no, 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 it's fine. But if we really kind of sat still for a moment and went, what do I really want? What do I want to build? What do I want to create? What do I want my impact or my legacy to be? We know what that is, but we just are so busy running around pretending like we're fine, we're fine, we're fine. If we sat still and we really checked in and said, what do I want to get up to next? We know what that is. And then I want people to take away from the book that it's their time and they should just have a go and make a start.
That's great. And even while you were talking, I was thinking, how often do I do that? It's almost never. Mm. And even though we do know it, we know what we want out of life, if we're honest with ourselves. I think it's so easy in this world, with all the social media and all the constant comparisons to other people, to get what you want clouded up by what you think you should have, or what you think you, what boxes you think you need to tick, as opposed 100%. To what you actually want.
I mean, you know, like, it's July right now in Australia, so it's winter, and, you know, I know, even like going through my Instagram feed this morning, it's like, this person's in Italy, this person's in Greece, why am I in Greece? It's like, I don't actually want to be in Greece right now. Like, I'm happy being here, you know, but you just get so caught up in what everyone else is doing. And I think you forget that we all have choices and it's our lives, and we've got to take that control back. And yeah, I mean, I write about it in the book, like, be the driver of your life. And I didn't intend this to be kind of a personal development book at all, but I think in some ways it kind of is, because I think everything comes back to your mindset, and everything comes back to the way you view the world and how you prioritize what you really want to get from it. So I think that's what I want to encourage people to do.
Well, I think you've done it.
Thank you.
I think it's a great book. I think people are really going to love it. And I didn't actually know really about Business Chicks until your book came into my world. And so now I've got this whole thing opened up.
You've got this whole other world to explore now.
It's really exciting.
Yeah,
it's
good. Really cool. Good. Well, I expect to see you pop up at all our events.
Excellent.
And become a member and tell everyone about the book. But that's great, because there is, I mean, Business Chicks is like this whole other world. It's like, the people say to us, it's like the best kept secret. I mean, it's the largest network for women in the country.
Massive.
It's huge. Yeah. But people, like, unless, I don't know, I mean, I mean, a lot of our events do tend to be in the capital cities, which is tough. We do a lot of online stuff as well. So you've got to get,
it's
amongst
the sort
it.
Of thing that as soon as it comes to you, you're like, how have I not?
Right.
How have I not seen it? Because the scope of it is massive.
Yeah, it really is.
Do you ever just look at what you've done and think, oh, how did this happen?
Nah, you know, like, I really need to take my own advice and sit back every now and then. I mean, I do. It's extraordinary. It's such a beautiful, you know, I mean, I feel very lucky to do what we do every single day. And, you know, I'm most proud of the way my team show up in the world. And, you know, I see my DNA in the business every single day still. And I think that's all a founder can ask for after 13 years of running a company. And I'm away from the Australian business now because I live in LA, so I'm not even running it, but I'm more proud of my people and what we've been able to create, you know, as a team, as a real family unit. I mean, if you were to come into our offices, it's just the most loving, and, you know, they just care so much about the work that we do. And, you know, for us, it's a business. We're a for-profit business, and we feel really strongly that we need to be a for-profit business, because there's no shame in wanting to do well and be successful and also support women and do the work that we do with the charity stuff. But you know, I'm most proud of the way my team band together and how much they care about the work that we do, you know. And it's not just about flashy events with famous people like that. To us, actually, we don't really, you know, not that we don't care about it, it's an important part of what we do. But we get so much more joy from being behind the scenes, and, you know, the work is largely invisible. You know, we're doing things to link our members together and introduce them to a new team member or a business coach, or, you know, hook them up with funding for their startup. Or it's mostly invisible, and we don't talk about it, and we don't feel we need to talk about it. You know, yeah. It's just what we do, and we live and breathe supporting women to the absolute core in our work. It's just who we are, and we will hopefully die doing this work and trying to, you know, encourage women to put themselves out there and to have the confidence to do whatever they want to do. And we kind of feel like we need to be role models for that. And yeah, that's what the book is. Hopefully goes a little way to do, you know, as well as the work we do at Business Chicks.
I think 100% you will achieve that, or have achieved that. It's already.
Thank you.
It's done.
Thank you.
So you've mentioned your love of books. Yeah. Being obviously founder and CEO of Business Chicks, yeah, and an author and a mother of five, not that I'm calling you a superwoman, you mentioned you don't possibly have that much time to read these days, but like, we usually ask people when they come in, it doesn't have to be a recent read, but you know, what's a book that you recommend of your favorites?
Yeah for sure. I've got to admit, I have total book amnesia, and I have film amnesia as well. So, you know, when your friends are like, have you read this one? I'm like, I probably have, like 15 years ago. And then when you start to talk about it, you're like, I definitely have. having read so many books over the course of, I'm 30. I'm going to be 40 next year. How's that, Sarah?
You don't look a day.
That's what you meant to say. That's awesome. Thanks, lovely. I think I do talk about a few of the books that have really, really, really impacted me. Over the course of my life, I was really lucky, even before I kind of got to university, to have read a bunch of kind of business biographies and a lot of financial kind of books that equipped me to start early. And, you know, in the book we go into my property investing and my mindset around creating wealth. And so when you ask that question, books that come to mind are ones like Think and Grow Rich by Napoleon Hill, Rich Dad Poor Dad by Robert Kiyosaki. You know, I read all the Robbins books. I read all the autobiographies by like Branson, of course. Mm. You know, we've talked a lot about women, and this is not just a book for women. It's very, very pink. my friend in Brisbane got sent a media copy, and she read it in 2 days and had it lying around the house, and her husband picked it up, and he sent me a Facebook message yesterday. It's like, damn, I freaking loved your book. It was so good. I read it in a day and a half. He's like, when I got past the pink cover, it's actually amazing. So it's not just a book for women, I want to tell you guys out there. But on the women thing, you know, and I talk about her in the book, I think every woman should read Nice Girls Don't Get the Corner Office. And not just if you're in business, but it's all about how to show up, how to have presence in your workplace, how to compete with the natural power that men seem to have because they perhaps, you know, look more powerful, whatever that means. But it's a book that, have you read it?
No.
You've got to read it. It's amazing. It's full of like bam, 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 tip after tip after tip about how women shouldn't cook for the people in their office because that immediately puts you in the nurturer kind of role, and it's less powerful. When you go into a meeting, you should sit next to the most powerful person in the room because just by association you become more powerful. It's how when you're in a meeting, you know, actually sit at the table. Like, she's the original Sheryl Sandberg. Like, she teaches us to lean in, and I mean, I'm lucky that I know her, and she's a phenomenal woman. She lives in LA too. But it's just so full of practical advice of how women can reclaim more power in their workplaces and, you know, get ahead and have more presence and, you know, ask for, you know, negotiate your way into pay rises and all the stuff. I mean, you know, actually you think that we all know, but we don't always. And then if we do know, we often forget it. So it's full of just really great gems, and she's been a real inspiration for me.
That sounds amazing.
It's so good. And you know what, I see a lot of her stuff kind of playing out in my business because I work in LA and I have teams in Auckland, Melbourne and Sydney. So I'm often on conference calls and I'm looking into a boardroom full of, you know, mainly women. Like, we do have one guy that works at Business Chicks. But I see it, you know, perhaps with the younger people who go into that conference, video conference, and they kind of sit back in their chair, pull you know, they pull their chair back, and I think, you know, and I yell at them, I'm like through the screen, like, excuse me, can you, you know, bring your chair in? You're part of this team. You may be the newest or whatever, but you're part of this team. Every single person on my team is an equal here, and you have to show up as if you're an equal and as if you have as much power as every single person in this room. And so I think Dr. Lois Frankel's work is phenomenal, and she was really the original, and I love her to bits.
I need to check that out.
You really do.
Do you think that's fundamentally the biggest challenge for women, like, you know, in business, is finding a way to overcome, like, the natural subservient roles that coming from society 100%. And from being raised as a woman?
100%. So it comes back to what messages you were taught as a young girl.
Yeah.
So, and I do you have a brother?
I've got two.
Great. So, you know, maybe this weekend, when you find 5 minutes to sit by yourself, have a think about what messages you received in your childhood and what messages your brothers received in their childhood, and if they were different at all. But a lot of this stuff gets triggered when we get into the corporate world, and a lot of that, you know, I'd like to think we're past the whole, you know, night, you know, all those messages about, you know, looking good and keeping quiet and behaving and all that sort of stuff. But we, you know,
I think intellectually we are, but there's a lot of behavior that's just unconscious.
Oh, absolutely.
And even when you catch yourself doing it, you're amazed, because obviously you know intellectually that, you know, women are as capable and as powerful as men. You know it, but I just think it's going to be maybe another generation or something before you are raised believing it, you know, like,
yeah, or, you know what, like that, yeah. That's even might be quite an optimistic view. It could take, I mean, I remember reading somewhere that Ida Butros said, you know, if we continue on at this rate, in 80 years time, we're not even going to be in a situation where we have equal pay and equal representation on boards and in the executive. So there's a lot of work that has to be done. And I don't want to subscribe to the fact that it's just us who has to do the work. Yes, of course, women have to think about the way they show up in the world, and they have to believe in themselves perhaps more than men, and there is a confidence gap there that we have to overcome.
But society as a whole, it's
dealing with the constructs of society as a whole and the way things are set up, and it's not rigged in women's favours. And so there's that work to be done, and also on the self-talk and the mindset stuff. But we've got to, like, you know, shift the needle on both those things,
Emma, I could keep talking to you for ages.
Are we out of time?
We have gone a little bit over time. I couldn't help it. You're too interesting.
I'll come back for my second book. Let's do that.
Yeah.
Deal? Yeah.
Yeah, which is already partially written, right?
Yeah. Yeah, cutting room floor. I got to get those words off that floor.
Awesome. Deal. Thank you so much for coming in today, and it's been such a pleasure to meet you.
Thank you.
And podcast listeners, you can get Wing by Emma Isaacs at www.booktopia.com.au.
Thanks for listening to the Booktopia podcast. Don't forget to subscribe to us on SoundCloud and iTunes. And if your eyeballs need a workout, check us out on YouTube at Booktopia TV. And don't forget, for all books featured on this episode and all episodes of the Booktopia podcast, head to Booktopia, Australia's local bookstore, at www.booktopia.com.au. Thanks for listening.